Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to be talking about the fascinating world of building technology and its connection to climate change.
Mm.
So we're going to be looking at this article from the AROES group.
Oh, interesting.
It's pronounced AROES, and they're really exploring the potential of building data. You know, all that information we get from sensors and systems.
Yeah, I think that's often overlooked.
Right. It just kind of sits there.
Right, exactly. And this article is really thought-provoking. One of the things that really stood out to me was this comparison they make between building data and gold.
Okay, gold.
Yeah, gold. Like, it makes you think about the value that's hidden in our buildings. It's just waiting to be unearthed.
Okay, so are they suggesting there's, like, actual money to be made here? Or is this more about, you know, optimizing the building's performance and making it more sustainable?
Well, it's a bit of both. The article definitely highlights how using insights from this data can lead to big cost savings because you can see where things are inefficient. But it goes beyond just the money side of things, too. Imagine using this data to make buildings more comfortable for the people inside. Mm. You know, better air quality, maybe even shrinking that environmental footprint.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. One thing that really jumped out at me, though, when I was reading this article was they're talking about how a lot of building owners, they don't even know what technology is in their own buildings.
Oh, wow.
They call it delegated design. So basically, they kind of hand over the reins to the experts during that construction process, and then that's it.
Huh. Well, yeah, and that can be a big problem. You know, it's kind of like buying a super fancy car, but you have no idea how the engine works.
Yeah.
You can drive it, but you don't know how to really get the most out of it.
So how does this lack of awareness, especially with climate change being such a big deal right now, how does that play into everything?
Well, you have to think about it. Buildings are responsible for a huge amount of those greenhouse gases that are contributing to climate change.
We're talking about almost 40%.
Close to 40%, yeah. So we need to find ways to make these buildings more energy efficient. But if the owners don't even understand the technology, it makes it so much harder for them to make smart choices about how to upgrade things or, you know, make those things more efficient.
It's like they're stuck with this system they don't understand.
Right, exactly. And at the same time, they've got this pressure to make things more sustainable.
And that's where this idea of OT programming comes in, right? The AROES group, that's what they propose as a solution to kind of bridge that gap.
Uh-huh. Making building science and data science work together, right?
Okay, so you've mentioned OT programming a couple of times.
Yeah.
I have to say, it sounds a little bit technical.
Yeah.
Can you break it down for us? What is this and how does it actually work?
Okay, so imagine this. You've got all this raw data coming in from sensors all over the building, right?
Okay.
You've got temperature, humidity, are people in the rooms or not? How much energy are they using? Mm. And OT programming takes all of that and combines it with what we know about building science, you know, how buildings actually work, and uses that to find patterns and inefficiencies.
So it's more than just putting in a bunch of sensors and hoping for the best.
Exactly.
You're actually trying to use that data to make smart decisions about the building.
Exactly, yeah. Moving beyond just waiting for something to break to actually being proactive, you know, trying to prevent problems before they happen and make everything run as efficiently as possible.
I'm making it more comfortable for everyone.
And comfortable and sustainable, yeah.
I really like this idea of connecting the building science and the data science, but what are some real benefits of this OT programming? Can you give us some examples of how it's being used to make a difference?
Oh, yeah, sure. There's actually a case study in the article where they use this in a big office building in New York City. Mm. And it got like a 15% reduction in energy costs.
15%. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
How did they do that? Like, what were they actually able to change? Did they have to, like, renovate the whole building?
No, they didn't have to do anything that drastic.
Hmm.
What they found was that there were all these inefficiencies in their HVAC system that they just hadn't noticed before.
Makes sense.
So, for example, they started looking at when people were actually in the building and adjusted the ventilation schedule.
Wow.
So, you know, no more air conditioning blasting in empty rooms.
Right.
They even started using weather data to kind of preheat or pre-cool the building.
Oh, interesting.
Just to minimize that energy waste during those peak hours.
So they basically just used data to kind of fine-tune the systems they already had in place.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
The article also talks a lot about democratization of data.
Yeah.
So the idea is that everyone involved with a building should have access to this information.
Uh-huh.
How does OT programming help make that happen?
So instead of having these really complicated technical reports that only engineers understand, they use dashboards and visualizations that are easy for anyone to read.
Okay.
So imagine a building manager can just look at a screen and see right away which areas are using the most energy. Or the tenants could even track their own usage and make adjustments based on that.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it's all about making that information accessible and easy to digest.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So then everyone kind of understands how the building works as a whole.
And then everyone's responsible.
Right. And it can lead to better collaboration,
Right.
everyone working together to try to make it more efficient and sustainable.
Yeah. And it's not just about the energy savings either.
Hmm.
You know, OT programming can help optimize temperature and air quality too.
Okay.
So it can make it a more comfortable and productive environment for everybody.
So it's not just saving money or reducing emissions.
Right.
It's making it a better experience for the people who actually spend time in these buildings every day.
Exactly. And that's something the article emphasizes a lot.
That you have to think about human factors, along with the technical stuff.
So, yeah, you know, it's great to have an energy efficient building,
Yeah.
but it also needs to be a good place for people to be.
Exactly. Responsive place,
Yeah.
thinking about people's
Okay,
needs.
so this is all really interesting.
Yeah.
And obviously, the article is kind of focused on individual buildings, but I'm curious,
Yeah.
do you think we could apply these same ideas on a larger scale? Like to make whole cities more sustainable?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, imagine a city where all the buildings had sensors and all that data was connected. City planners could see which neighborhoods are using the most energy or, where the air quality is bad. And then they could use that information to focus their efforts, where to invest in green infrastructure or create policies to encourage sustainable building practices.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
It would be
That's
a.
really cool.
It is.
So instead of this kind of piecemeal approach,
Yeah.
it's a more holistic way of thinking about how buildings and cities and everything kind of works together.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay, so this is really making me think differently about data and sustainability and all that.
It is fascinating stuff.
Yeah, but before we get too carried away, I think we need to talk about the potential downsides too.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, what about security?
Right.
All this data being collected, and what happens if these systems fail?
Those are good questions.
Yeah.
And the article does talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
The need to make sure the data is protected. So that means things like encryption and strong access controls and regular security audits to make sure nobody's getting in there and messing with things.
Makes sense.
And then in terms of system failures,
Yeah.
well, you need redundancy, you need backup systems in place. So
Huh.
if something does go wrong, the building can still function safely.
So it's all about finding that balance,
Yes.
embracing the possibilities of the technology, but also being aware of those potential risks and mitigating them.
Exactly.
And it's not just a one-time thing either, right?
Of
You have to
course.
keep monitoring and maintaining these systems.
Right, it's an ongoing
It
process.
can't just be set it and forget it.
No, it's not a magic bullet.
It's like a garden.
It is like a garden. You have to tend to it.
All right, so we've talked about the potential of building data. We've explained this whole concept of OT programming.
Yeah.
And we've even touched on some of the ethical considerations around data security. It's been a really interesting conversation.
It has been.
And I think it shows how these technical topics are actually connected to some of the biggest challenges we're facing.
Yeah, like climate change and building healthier cities.
Exactly. So the OEROS group, they end their article with a really thought-provoking question.
Okay.
And I think it's a good one for us to consider too.
Yeah, what is it?
As our buildings are getting smarter and more connected, what role will each of us play in shaping this data-driven future?
It really is. It makes you think about the impact this will have on our lives,
Right.
and how we can make sure this technology is used for good.
Right. Like it's not just about the data, it's about the choices we make about it,
Right.
right? How do we balance efficiency with privacy? And who gets to decide what data gets collected in the first place?
Absolutely. Those are the big questions. The article really stressed the ethical side of building tech. More data doesn't automatically mean better. We have to think about the consequences and make sure this benefits everybody.
Yeah. And I keep thinking about education and awareness. It feels like a lot of these challenges we've talked about come from people not really understanding how buildings work. Owners, occupants, everyone.
Totally. The more we all know about how our buildings function, the better decisions we can make about energy use, comfort, even our health.
Right. So it's empowering people with knowledge, not just throwing data at them. Maybe
Yep.
that's where the real value is.
I like that. Bridging the gap between the experts and everyday people. making it so everyone can be part of the conversation about how we design, manage, and experience buildings.
This whole deep dive has really changed how I see things. I used to think of buildings as just, you know, static structures, but now I see them as these dynamic, interconnected systems, always changing. And it's kind of exciting to realize we all have a role to play in shaping that.
I hope that's what people take away from this. You know, as you go about your day, think about the buildings you're in, your home, work, school. How can you use what you know to push for a better built environment, one that's sustainable, equitable, and works for everyone?
That's a great point. So we've really explored a lot today, the power of building data, what OT programming is all about, even those ethical questions around security.
And how all of that ties into some of the most important issues we're facing.
It's been a fascinating deep dive, and we hope you've enjoyed it. Hopefully you've learned something new and are thinking about buildings in a whole new light. Thanks for listening.